welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, we will dive into how to save money on your grocery bill. I could not believe the prices last time I was at the grocery store. And according to the reports, grocery store prices are still creeping up. And in my honest opinion, I think they will continue to creep up, whether slowly or skyrocket, depending on what is going on with the government. So now is the time to take control of your food. I seriously couldn't believe it. I was standing there and there was a loaf of bread that I used to buy and it was like $7. And I definitely did not used to pay $7 for that bread. It was probably like $3 or $4. So it's more than possibly doubled. And I just could not believe that because how easy bread is to make, and my bread tastes way better than that bread. And I save a lot by baking my own bread. So let's jump in today and discuss how to save money on groceries without sacrificing quality or nutrition, which is so important to me. And seriously, if you have been to the store lately, you've probably noticed how much food prices have climbed. I've just been looking online, seeing what people are saying, and a lot of people are agreeing. So between inflation, supply chain issues, and shifts in agricultural production, 2025 has brought so far some of the highest grocery costs we have seen in years. So what can we do? The key, in my opinion, is strategy, awareness, absolutely being aware, knowing what's going on, and a little bit of that homesteading mindset to make the most of every dollar or wherever you're at. And understanding why prices are rising can help us adapt and help us really decipher patterns and see what's coming. Factors like extreme weather patterns affecting crop yields, global economic fluctuations, and increased transportation costs all contribute to this surge in our grocery prices. So oftentimes, I think the government uses excuses to further their agenda that then cause price increases. So for example, the bird flu narrative was just used to affect our supply chain because they were able to cull millions of birds on a whim. So of course this brought egg costs up. We may even see a rise in meat costs potentially, but currently there is a wave going on with immigration. So people are speculating that fruit prices are going to soar if there's a shortage of workers in our fruit areas like California. So even consumer habits have changed. More people are buying organic, sustainable, and specialty products, which can drive demand and prices higher. I have actually seen that in my local area with raw milk. The price has gone from $5 a half gallon to $7.50 a half gallon for raw milk. For goat milk, it has gone from $10 a half gallon to $14, depending all on who you buy from, but these are the average prices. Demand has increased as people have started to return local, and the prices are reflecting that. I do believe local economies will correct themselves easier than our country's economy and are not as susceptible to collapse though, which is a positive because they're only going to be able to operate at such a high price with what people are willing to pay. And so it's going to stabilize and find itself. But there is a silver lining, and that is by shifting the way we approach grocery shopping and food storage, we can take back control of our food budgets, of our food sources, and we can make smarter choices. And that's what I want to help you with today, to take a step back from the grocery store and just see what's going on, evaluate your situation, the grocery store, how we can come together and beat these grocery store prices. One of the biggest mistakes people make when they go grocery shopping is shopping without a plan. If you go into the grocery store without a list or a clear idea of what you need, you're most likely going to overspend and overspend on things that maybe will perish earlier than when you were planning to use them on a whim in the store, things you might not eat. But the grocery stores, keep in mind, mind are built for that, especially if you have children. The way the stores aligned isn't coincidence, but human psychology has been taken into account. The grocery store chains literally hire psychologists to analyze what is going to be optimal for the grocery store shopper spending the maximum amount. So, for example, the checkouts are loaded with convenience foods. At my local Walmart, when you approach the checkout, they have hand pies and ready-to-go eats, along with chips and candy. And not only that, these are child heights, so good luck making it through checkout. But here's what I recommend to remedy that. Go with a plan, and sometimes it is okay to go hungry, but go with a plan because I feel sometimes that hunger can help you pick out things that you will actually eat. But I discuss how planning ties into food storage in my food storage course, which I will have in the show notes. And what I want to say is having a plan helps you save money by purchasing food that your family will eat. This is key. You don't want to willy-nilly buy things on a whim, then that food gets stuffed to the back of the fridge or the pantry to never see the light of day again until you pull it out and it's moldy, it's rancid, and you wasted it. So plan out what you want to eat for the next week or two, and depending on your grocery store frequency, and just stick to it. You will see how thoughtful planning saves you money. And when you are planning, the next tip I have is plan meals around what's on sale. So check store flyers, digital coupons, and loyalty programs before heading out to the store. I remember when I was avidly shopping at the grocery store, still, I know there's like apps that you can get. There's coupons that you can still clip out from the local ads, which I think is cool. I think that's great for a lot of people. So for example, if chicken is on sale this week, make it the centerpiece of a few meals. Even though I don't, again, frequent the grocery store as often as I used to, I still check the flyers when they're dropped off in my mailbox to just see what's going on at the local grocery stores. And flyers may seem old school, but they keep you up to date on what sales are going on, so your time's not wasted, especially if it's a local grocery store that doesn't have a website, so you don't have a way to keep up with what is on sale. But if you are tracking those flyers, you're on the apps, and just doing what the grocery store recommends you do, I do think it is silly to have an app for everything. I mean, even my dishwasher wants me to have an app to run certain things. And it's like, no, I don't want an app for this. But when it comes to the grocery store, if I was still frequenting it, I 100% would get an app. If the farmers came together around me and said, hey, we're going to start an app for the local food co-op, I would probably download it, even though I really wouldn't want to. But this is a good time when you are shopping the sales, you're seeing what's on sale, for you to build your food storage. So you can be planning this as well, not just your day-to-day meals or your week-to-week meals. You can start planning your food storage. Always have that in the back of your mind. Food storage is absolutely necessary, even if it seems we are entering into times of plenty. My next tip for you is to buy in bulk, strategically. Some items like rice, beans, and flour or wheat berries are always cheaper in bulk. And I discuss why buying in bulk saves you money in one of my recent YouTube videos. I actually broke down the math for you. But for perishable items, only buy in bulk if you plan to store them. Which brings me to food preservation in just a bit. And what I mean with perishable items and storage, you don't want to buy a ton of perishable items that require refrigeration when your fridge is already full. So we are not only shopping sales, we're not only planning, but we are planning out our space, right? Especially if we are going to be buying in bulk, we need to ensure that we have the space or to make the space. But that is where food preservation comes in handy. So I buy 25 5 pound bags of beans, and then I can them up, and man, I never have to buy beans for a very, very long time just because how many jars of beans I get from 25 pounds. But food preservation and saving money on your groceries go hand in hand. Another thing that you can do, which is probably my favorite on this list, is to shop seasonal and local. Not only is seasonal produce fresher and more nutritious, but it can also be cheaper. Farmers markets, co-ops, and direct from farm purchases can sometimes beat grocery store prices. And sometimes these places even accept programs like SNAP, which I think is great for a lot of families. And many local farmers offer community supported agriculture boxes that give you a fresh selection of vegetables at a lower price than retail. And I can actually attest to this because the last 3 years now, I have gotten local veggies to support my farmers from a co-op, and I go once a week and I pick up the most beautiful organic non-GMO. Oh man, these vegetables are so pretty. Once a week, I think I might have mentioned that, I go to the farm, pick it up, and I get to enjoy this variety of produce through the summer and fall season, genuinely at a lower price than it would be retail for this same quality. Not only that, I know who's growing. They connect you with the farmers of who is growing your food. You're not going to find that at the store. So see if your community has local food co-ops, like what kind of options they have. I know there are vegetable shares, there's milk shares, there's flour shares, there's so many different kinds of shares that you can find at these co-ops. And I know end of summer season for the farmers around me also gives good prices on produce. So I mean heirloom produce that is organically grown for cheap. I'm able to get it for cheap at the end of season because the farmers need to get rid of what they have. So I do a lot of bulk buying during this time in preservation. So for example, I get a bulk of tomatoes at the end of the season for cheap, then can up diced tomatoes, salsas, tomato juice, and more tomato products for the entire winter. And that is one of my favorite times, end of season, when the farmers start sending out the messages, hey, we're slashing our prices. Now tomatoes are super cheap per pound. If you buy them in bulk, you get an even better deal. Literally one of my favorite messages to get. So you can see how this all comes together for me. I plan my food preservation with tomatoes and corn and other produce more towards the end of the season when I know there's going to hopefully be a good sale. Don't get me wrong, I will buy through the season when things are fresh and it's peak season, but that end of the season sale is definitely one of my favorites. So just try and tune in with your local community because that is hopefully where you can tap into high quality produce and find great sales. And you know, some grocery stores may have good produce depending on your area. Maybe they even source from local farms. That is just so important to me going back to support my community and knowing that the food I'm eating was grown in the soil around me. You can even apply the sales to grocery stores because they are going to have sales seasonally as well. Like we talked about, you can also apply your food preservation planning to when they are having sales, like the end of cranberry season. So cranberry season's around November with Thanksgiving here in the fall. And then when they are done with cranberries, the cranberries go on sale for cheap at the store. I mean, a few cents a bag if you're lucky when they have a huge entire bulk that they want to get rid of. So sometimes you just have to keep an eye on that. And then from that, you can up cranberry juice, cranberry sauce, cranberry, whatever you want in your kitchen for cheap. So always make sure that you understand unit pricing as well. We've kind of touched on this. Grocery stores often make products seem cheaper by playing with packaging sizes. So always compare the price per ounce or pound to get the best deal. If you look closely at the tag that is on the shelf, sometimes it will tell you how much you are paying per ounce or pound. Oftentimes, name brand items are more expensive than the off brand, but the ingredients will be the same or very similar, so just keep an eye on any tricks like this. Also, if a store has something marked cheaper and you go ring it up and it's more expensive, they have to honor what it was marked as, so always check your receipts to make sure you are being rung up correctly. Keep in mind too, it is wise to stick to staple foods. So whole foods like oats or potatoes, lentils, eggs, meat, milk, items like this that can provide simple nutrients for you and your family and are far, far cheaper than prepackaged alternatives. So honestly, when you start buying ingredients rather than ultra processed garbage, you save money. A bag of Doritos is going to be more expensive per ounce than a carton of eggs. I've done this comparison before. I even posted it once where I was breaking down some ultra processed food versus buying eggs and I believe milk. So when you hear it's expensive, it's way more expensive to eat healthy. No, it is more expensive to eat the ultra processed stuff. Just like I said, to compare price per ounce and per pound, compare the price per ounce and per pound on processed garbage compared to eggs, meat, milk, you know, these basic items. But now let's talk about something that can seriously slash your grocery bill long term that I am super passionate about, which is food preservation. If you've never thought about canning, fermenting, or freezing in bulk, 2025 is the year to start. So seriously, once you start preserving food, there is no going back because you will see how simple it is, how much money it saves you, and how it helps build your food storage. So let's run through some of the food preservation methods that can help you clean up your grocery bill. The first one is canning. So canning vegetables, like we talked about, sauces, and even meats can cut your grocery costs dramatically. When you buy produce at peak season, either from your grocery store or local farmer, or maybe you have your own garden, you are paying rock bottom prices, okay? Because food in season is going to be cheaper than when it is out of season. Preserve it. Just preserve it, okay? Buy in bulk if you can. And you've got months of cheap homegrown food if you have a garden, or months of cheap bulk bought food if you're using the grocery store or your local farmer. So like I mentioned, for the farmers around me, when the season is ending and they are still swimming in produce, they will give you an even better deal than peak season. So you can get quality produce for just dirt cheap. You wouldn't even believe it. So water bath canning is great for jams and things like tomatoes. So keep in mind it's more for the acidic things, while pressure canning works for meats and soups and lower acid things. Neither of these, I promise, are scary. You just gotta dive in, give it a try. I promise it's actually fun, and the food that you make for the most part turns out really, really great. Of course, when you are learning, and even once you are in, you will have some canning failures, but that is all part of the learning experience. Another thing you can do is freezing. Freezing is a wonderful method of food storage because of how simple it is. If you are buying meat in bulk, portion it out and freeze it. Make soups, broths, and stews ahead of time and freeze them for quick meals. A deep freezer can be a game changer when it comes to preserving food for the long haul. Trust me, I have like 5 freezers out in my garage because, all right, someone was giving away freezers and I couldn't say no. How are you going to say no to free freezers? So yes, that helped me expand my food storage, but I'm also rotating methods of food storage. So from my freezer, I will can or freeze dry. But also another method of food preservation that you can do is dehydrating, which is great for herbs, fruits, and you can make jerky. It is so good. So instead of paying premium prices for dried fruit snacks like fruit roll-ups, you can dehydrate apples, bananas, and they taste so good. You can even do citrus peels for teas. This last year, I dehydrated a bunch of tulsi, which is a really yummy tea. I dehydrated rose petals. I did a bunch of fruit. Oh man, fruit and honey, one of my favorite things to dehydrate. Dehydrating soup mixes can also be of great use because they can be stored for emergencies or quick dinners, much like I do with freeze drying, but dehydrating doesn't have as large of a price tag as freeze drying does. Equipment wise, because a freeze dryer is a couple thousand, whereas a dehydrator can be under $100 or a couple hundred, depending on what you go with. Another thing you can do in your kitchen for food preservation is fermenting. Fermenting in your own kitchen is a great way to save money. So quality fermented foods can come with a steep price tag at the store. And keep in mind, you can make these things at home for cheap. You can ferment for cheap. So the sauerkraut, the kimchi, the yogurt, and the pickled vegetables last for months and actually improve in flavor over time. I have pickled cucumbers, pickles in my fridge right now from last summer, and they taste amazing. Fermentation is an ancient technique that not only preserves food, but also boosts your gut health. So I am really into fermentation. And if you are into fermented foods, just take the time to make them at home. They're not that difficult once you get into it. Get the fermentation weights or whatever gear you need for your ferments. It's so much nicer because of the flavor you get to control. And aside from these food preservation methods, another way that is great for lowering your grocery bill, and I'm going to sound like a broken record here, okay, is to reduce your reliance on processed and prepackaged foods. We touched on this a little, but think about this. The more hands an item passes through before it gets to you, so your food, the more processing, packaging, everything, the more you are going to be paying for that convenience. So like the fermented foods, here are some foods that you can make yourself and save a lot of money over time. Baking your own bread. Bread, which is just such a centerpiece in the kitchen. Flour is still relatively affordable, and making your own loaves can save you a ton over time. You can make it for cents as compared to the $7 loaf of bread that I picked up at the grocery store a few weeks ago. Sourdough starters are free to maintain, and you can provide delicious, nutritious bread with that because sourdough is another ferment. You just need flour and water, and I have a bread recipe tutorial that I will put in the show notes for you to help get you going. Just trust me, start making your own bread. Also make your own snacks. So instead of spending on expensive granola bars or crackers, try making homemade energy bites or sourdough crackers. Popcorn is another cheap whole food snack option. I absolutely love making popcorn in my Dutch oven, actually, with just kernels and olive oil. I top the popcorn with butter, then I dip the popcorn in my homemade ranch dressing. It is so good. It's tasty, it's convenient, and cheap compared to if I bought prepackaged popcorn, which I would never again because of all the chemicals in the packaging. Plus, I'm saving my health by ditching out on those chemicals. So you can do this too with all of your snacks. And you can even create your own dairy products, like I mentioned yogurt during the ferments. If you have access to milk, you can make your own butter, yogurt, and cheese for a fraction of the store price. I make yogurt in my Instant Pot. I actually have some in there right now. It even has a yogurt button that does all of the work for me. If you take heavy whipping cream and continuously mix it in your mixer, it will separate into butter and buttermilk. This isn't a traditional buttermilk, but you can still use it in recipes. You can make cheese and things like kefir, but you will need starter cultures, which isn't a big deal. Store-bought herbs can also be pricey, but growing basil, oregano, thyme, and cilantro at home can provide a fresh and free supply year-round, depending on how you're gardening. You can have a windowsill kitchen garden, and in the summer when you grow it in your garden, you can then preserve your herbs. You see how this is all tying together? I think it's pretty cool. Now, I know not everyone has land or the ability to raise livestock, but even a small step towards self-sufficiency can make a big difference when it comes to your grocery bill, like having backyard chickens for eggs. The best time to get chicks is in early spring, so we are quickly approaching it. Your farm stores will be full of these little cute chicks because spring is now when they are going to have a better chance of survival instead of the colder temperatures. You'll need a brooder with a heat lamp, quality feed, and secure housing. And by the time they mature in 4 to 6 months, they'll provide you with a steady egg supply, reducing grocery costs significantly, especially now we have seen egg prices skyrocketing, especially for quality eggs. So you can circumnavigate that and your dependence on the grocery store system by having your own chickens. You can also have raised beds, container gardens, and hydroponics, which are all great options, even for small spaces. So you can do herbs, tomatoes, lettuce, and peppers, which are easy to grow and can be high yield. Again, depending on your gardening and your soil. And it sounds like there's a lot, but once, like food preservation, you just get your feet on the ground and you get going, you will see that you can do this. Raised garden boxes or vertical growers are your secret to those high yield gardens in small spaces. This last few years, my dad started gardening and we never grew up gardening. I didn't grow up gardening. He actually has been learning from me. And so he has a smaller yard and he just built some garden boxes. And when I tell you, his garden this last year was insane. I mean, this beautiful garlic and peppers and berries, and overflowing strawberries, and he had onions and tomatoes. Oh my goodness. And so many potatoes. It was amazing. And all he did was build his raised beds, do some reading, and he's just been experimenting with different seed starting and trying different methods that aren't even, you know, recorded. He's just doing his own thing, and his garden is beyond thriving. It is the coolest thing to see. So if he can do it, if I can do it, you can do it. Another one of my favorite things that you can get out and do is forage and barter. So you can learn what grows naturally in your area, whether that's wild greens, nuts, and berries, which can all supplement your diet for free. You can also barter with neighbors to save money. You provide eggs, they provide fruit or homegrown honey. I used to trade milk for strawberries with my neighbor, and that was awesome. I forage mushrooms and berries in the spring and summer, and it is also so soothing for mental health to just get out and go forage, so I would encourage it. You can also raise small livestock if your area allows it. So rabbits and quail are excellent for meat production in small spaces. They require minimal care and their feed to meat ratio is highly efficient. I know a lot of homesteaders who love rabbits because of how simple they are to care for and that feed to meat ratio. So saving money on groceries in 2025 isn't just about spending less, it's about being intentional, resourceful, and willing to think outside the box a little bit. You know, be inspired by your great grandparents who did this. Like I said before, you have to choose your heart, whether that is suffering with what the grocery store has to offer or figuring out how you can help yourself by learning new skills, looking at the grocery store differently, going in with a plan. Just make those small changes and see how they add up for you. And I just want to say thank you so much for being here. I hope that this was helpful to you. If you did find this episode helpful, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend and help someone else. So until next time, happy homesteading and have an amazing day. Bye.